Amen. Amen. My text tonight is verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. The question about how to find forgiveness of sins is not one that is very that is the top of priorities in the lives of many people today. We live in a day in which perhaps it is not a priority at all. There are multitudes of people who are living out there who never think about their sins or never think about where they will spend eternity. They're not tuned into the reality of spiritual things at all and the vital necessity of having their sins dealt with. But we find that if you have your sins dealt with, not only will it settle your eternity, but it will also give you a quality of life, because we find that this thing about our sins is something that plagues the hearts of so many in this day and generation. Even though maybe they do not consider it, there is something at the back of the hearts of so many people that makes them realize that they are guilty. And that guilt is something that benumbs the soul. And that guilt is something that often brings illness and brings all sorts of untoward consequences in the lives of men and women. And maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight, and you have, because of the guilt of something that you've done in the past, or because of the transgressions that you've committed, you feel that in your heart, and it has been bubbling away there in the back of your mind, even though you're not conscious of it. Carl Menninger was a famed psychiatrist, and he once said that when you look in the psychiatric hospitals, he said that if patients were convinced that they could be forgiven, that 75% of those patients would walk out of that hospital the next day. And he said that this is one of the greatest things that are to do with mental illness, guilt. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you are guilty. But I want you to see that in the context of our text this evening, that there is a message of forgiveness. And it is a message of forgiveness in the midst of darkness and in the midst of sin. You know, sometimes when you go into a jeweler's shop, maybe the young man is looking for an engagement ring. And one of the things that the jeweler will do when he is showing the diamond rings or the gold or whatever jewelry it is, he will often show it against a black background, because the diamond will sparkle more against the black background. And I think that God often does this in his word. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 22 to 24, you see there a black background. He speaks about these people, and they haven't served God, and they have not taken God into account. But then in the midst of all of that is this diamond of a text that shines out in its brilliancy. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember thy sin no more. And men and women, this is the wonder of the gospel. If you are guilty, if you are being benighted by the sins of your heart, and if that guilt is right down there in the depths of your being, there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. There is blotting out of transgressions. Your sins, though they are many, though they may be deep, though they may be dark, though they may be absolutely disgusting, dear friend, those sins, are, though they are many, can all be washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the wonder of the gospel. And that's the message that we have come to proclaim, and is proclaimed week by week in this pulpit, and has been proclaimed down through the years. And I want to think about these wonderful words of assurance. And I may be speaking to somebody tonight, and you feel that guilt. There are things that you have done in the past that you're not proud of. Maybe there have been broken relationships. Maybe there have been broken families. Maybe you have caused untold pain to other people because of the actions that you have done. And in the back of your mind and right down in the depths of your heart, there is a guilt about those things. Well, dear friend, tonight, your sin can be forgiven. And that's the message that we want to proclaim tonight. And I want us now to listen to this wonderful text. And there are a number of things that I want you to see as we look at this text that proclaims that God can blot out your transgressions. And the first thing that we want to notice tonight is the pardon that is delivered. God is speaking here about complete pardon, deep pardon, strong pardon, everlasting pardon of your sin and of your transgressions. And I want you to notice some things about this pardon that is delivered. I want you to see that it is divine pardon. It is God. He says, I, even I am, and that's the name of God, I am that blotteth out thy transgression. He is Jehovah that blots out transgressions. That is his character. That is what he does. That is what he is. You know, one time in the Gospels, there was a question asked by the Pharisees, who can forgive sins but God only? And for once, the Pharisees got it right, because only God can forgive sins. It doesn't matter who puts his hand upon you or who pronounces a pardon upon you or recites a liturgy over you or puts a little drop of water on your forehead. Dear friend, those things cannot pardon you. Only God is able to pardon you tonight. You see, God is the one that's injured. And God is the one who has been offended by your sin. Therefore, it is only God that can forgive your sin. You see, if I was to hit you, and somebody else in the congregation would come over and say, oh, you're forgiven for that, it wouldn't matter, because I've hit you. You're the one that's been offended, and you're the only one that can forgive. And God is the one who has been offended by your sin. God is the one who has been hurt by that rebellion, by that obstinacy against him, by that stubbornness in your heart that has rejected him, time out of number. And dear friend, it is God that needs to pardon you. But here is the wonderful thing. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will forgive your sin. And that's a wonderful thing tonight. The God that we have offended, the God that we have rebelled against, is a God who blots out transgressions. It's a divine pardon. But then I want you to see that it is a complete pardon. It speaks here about not only forgiving our sins, but it speaks about blotting them out. And the word which is translated there, to blot out there, is a word that means to wipe out or obliterate. It is a word that is used in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 14, where God speaks about the enemies of Israel, and he says, let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make thee a nation mightier and greater than they. In other words, God was saying about these nations that he would destroy them and wipe them out so that they would be no more. There is no mention of the Amorites anymore. There is not a country called for the Amorites. There is not a country that is called by the name of the Perizzites or any of these nations. They're blotted out. They're gone. And that's what God does with our sins. We look again in Isaiah chapter 44. If you just turn over there, it says in verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The Lord says here that our sin is like a thick cloud, like a big dark cloud, ready to burst, like a storm cloud that is laden with rain and is about to burst forth. And it is on the point of, as it were, sending forth its deluge and the consequences of that cloud being poured out upon the earth. He says your sins are like the big dark cloud ready to burst. and the judgment of God is ready to burst out upon you. And he says, I can forgive even that. Even though you're on the brink, dear friend, of perishing. Even though, dear friend, you're just like that, like a breath from heaven, or a breath from eternity, rather. Dear friend, God can step in and blot out your transgressions. In the 14th century, Robert the Bruce was fleeing from the English king, and the king got, and his troops, the English troops, got hold of Robert the Bruce's bloodhounds, and they set them on the trail of their master. And of course, the bloodhounds, they wanted to find their master, and they wanted to know where he was, and so they were very keen to follow the scent of their master. And the servant who was with Robert the Bruce said, we are done for, because the hounds are on our trail. Robert the Bruce said, don't worry. And he said, came and he fled to where there was a stream, and he got into the stream, and he went up the stream a little bit and came out on the other side. And of course, when the hounds came to the stream, they were able to follow the scent of their master to the stream, but they wouldn't cross the stream because the scent was lost. Dear friend, your sin is like the bloodhound. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And like a bloodhound, your sin is on your trail tonight. But there needs to be something that steps in. There needs to be that cleansing, the washing of the precious blood of Christ, in order to deal and put the bloodhounds of judgment off your trail. But that's what the Lord says he's able to do. It is a complete pardon. But then I want you to see it's a comprehensive pardon. Because you'll notice that there are two words that are used in the text. You will see that he speaks about how that he will blot out thy transgressions. And then he says that he will not remember thy sins. Now, there are two types of sins that we can do if we use sin as a comprehensive term. There are the sins of omission and there are the sins of commission. There are things that we do that are wrong. There are things that we do that are in rebellion against God. We can steal, we can lie. There are things that we actively transgress the law of God. But then there are things that are sins of omission. There are things that are right and there are things that are good, like worship, like coming to God and praising his name. And sometimes we don't do those things. And those are the sins of omission. And those two words cover those two things. The word transgressions there means lawlessness or revolt. It speaks about the sins of commission. And the word sin there is a coming short of the mark. It is the sin of omission. It is what it says in Romans 6 and or 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to see that God is able to deal with all of your sin. That's what it's really saying here. The sins, the transgressions, the big sins, the little sins, the sins that are remembered and the sins that you forgot long ago, all of those sins can be brought under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a comprehensive pardon. Something else. It is an eradicating pardon. Christ obliterates. He destroys. He wipes out. He reduces to nothing the transgressions that we have made. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. So not only does he blot out our transgressions, not only does he wipe them out, but he does not even remember them anymore. How can God do that? How can a God who knows all things, well, it is that he just takes the record away. He treats us as if we had never been sinners. What a wonder. God not only forgives, but he forgets. He forgets. He's forgotten my sins. They're under the blood. He doesn't see them anymore. Oh, dear friend, do you know that blessing? Do you know that wonder of sins forgiven? It is an eradicating pardon. Something else, it is a purchased pardon. Because the Lord pardoned by paying the price. Now, if you think here of what it says, Paul in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul speaks about the plotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And that's the same thought that is here. And where he speaks about the handwriting of ordinances, he is speaking here about a legal document. The Freiburg lexicon gives the meaning of the words, a strictly handwritten doctrine. In legal matters, a promissory note, a record of indebtedness, a bond, figuratively in Colossians 2 and 14, not as the law itself, but as the record of charges which stood against us. So here it is. It is a legal document that is standing against us. The handwriting of ordinances. There is a book of ordinances. There is a charge sheet against you in heaven. All of the sins that you've committed are written down. There's a ledger. There is a spreadsheet, if you want. There is every debt that you owe written down there. Every sin brings a debt. Every sin deserves a punishment. And it's all written down. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying that he will remove the debt. He will clear the ledger. He will blot out what is there. And we think of the old days with the ledgers. When the debt was struck out, it was always struck out only when it was paid for. And I'm glad that our Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross of Calvary, paid the debt. He paid a debt I owed. He paid that debt that was against me. But thank God tonight that for everyone that is washed in the precious blood of the Lamb tonight, that our sins are paid for and blotted out. Dear friend, that's the wonder of God's salvation. That's his love and that's his mercy. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. But not only do I want you to see the pardon that is delivered, but look at the people who are forgiven. Because it indicates here the people who are addressed, and it's wonderful here to have this promise, this great ability, this wonderful promise that God can blot out our transgressions. But who is he talking about here? Who is it that the Lord is referring to when he speaks about the blotting out of transgressions? Are these holy people? Are these religious people? Are these church-going people? Are these the kind of people who are holier than thou? Are these the kind of people who would not hurt a fly? Are these the kind of people who live a strict and holy life? Is that the kind of people that God blots out the transgressions of? Well, maybe that's what you think, and you're going to have to reform your life, and you're going to have to change things in order for God to blot out your transgressions. You're going to, as it were, have to meet God halfway. But I want you to see who it is that God has promised that he will blot out their transgressions. I want you to see that there are godless people. Look at verse 22. The Lord says to these people that he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. He says in verse 22, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Now what is their crime? Was it that they murdered or that they stole? Or was it that they were violent in any way? What was it that they had done? Well, it says that they had wearied God. These were people who had wearied God. And that was their transgression. That was their sin. Well, dear friend, tonight you may think that you have to be a violent person, or you have to be somebody that would have done a crime that would have landed you in prison. But here, I wonder tonight if I'm speaking to someone and you wearied God. Wearied God by your rejection. Wearied God by your attitude. Weighed God by your dismissal of the things of God. And maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you are a person that has wearied God. Perhaps your presence in the gospel meeting tonight is somewhat hopeful. At least you're here. At least you're listening to the word of God. But I wonder tonight, have you become weary of the things of God? You know, it can come to the place where you begin to weary of the gospel and weary of the word of God. Is that what's happening in your heart and in your soul tonight? You're wearied of the things of God and you're wearying God by what you do. But these were a godless people. They were a people who had wearied God. But he's willing to wipe out their transgressions. Not only were they a godless people, but I want you to see that they are a thankless people. Verse 23 says about them, "Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense." And the Lord here is speaking to these people. They had been blessed with material blessings and all of the rest of them, but they hadn't bothered to come and thank God. They hadn't bothered to come even with a small cattle, a small offering. They hadn't even bothered to do that. They were those that had despised God and were a thankless people against God. And so many there are in this day and generation, particularly in our own land. We have many blessings. We have material blessings. We have a church like this, a church building, where you can come and hear the word of God. And thank God we have still the opportunity and we have the liberty to be able to come and to hear the word of God. And you can come and hear that word preached week by week and on a number of occasions in the week and in the gospel missions and in so many places. You have the privilege of hearing the word of God and you've been given blessings. You've been given blessings of health perhaps. You've been given blessings of intellect. You've been given blessings of financial material and all of the rest of it. And yet you are not thankful to God. God has given you all these things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And yet how unthankful you are. Oh, these people were unthankful to God. And yet God says to these unthankful people, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. And if you'd been unthankful to God, and if you'd wearied God and become wearied of the things of God, God still, dear friend, young person tonight, God is still able and willing to blot out your transgressions. These then were a godless people and a thankless people, but there's something else. They were a useless people. Look at verse 24. He says, "But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." So they had wearied God again by their iniquities. And the chief end of God, or of man rather, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So these people had not served him, he said, "But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." And a life without God is a useless life. It doesn't matter what you achieve. It doesn't matter about the plaudits of man. It doesn't matter how big you are counted in the midst of your community. If you die without God, you are living a useless life. Your life will amount to nothing. It's as the hymn writer said, "Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Dear friend, there is an eternity. And we might look at this life and think that it is all that we have and all that we can make our way in and make a mark in. But dear friend, are you living for eternity? What about eternity? What about eternity? Well, dear friend, the tragedy is that so many today are living without God and living without hope in the world. Tell me, are you wearying God? Are you wearying God? God has been long-suffering with you. But listen, even though you're wearying God with your iniquities and your sins, God reaches down in mercy tonight. He says, come to me. Come to me. Will you come? Wherever you are, dear sinner, will you come? Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, you have suffered with those sins and those guilts and all of the things that have been night in your heart. But there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Will you come and trust him tonight as your Savior? The pardon he delivered, the people who are forgiven. But there's one more thing that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture, and that's the promise that is made. Because God says, not only will he blot out our transgressions, but he says also that he'll remember our sins no more. And he will treat us as if we had never committed sins. And I want you to see the intensity of that promise, because that is an exceedingly precious promise. When it speaks there about blotting out our transgressions and not remembering our sins, we are really talking about the doctrine of justification. Now, oftentimes in a gospel meeting, justification is defined, or being justified is being defined as just as if I never sinned. And that's true. God will treat you just as if you'd never sinned. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 9, it says of God that thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know, God doesn't just cast our sins away. Not only does he blot them out, not only does he forget them, but it says that he casts them into the depths of the sea, not into the shallows where the devil can drag them up. And the devil will try to drag them up at times. The devil will try to bring up our sins before us. But the Lord has cast them into the depths where they will never be fished up, where they will never be brought before us again. Because he has totally and absolutely blotted out every sin that is against us. And I want you to see the intensity of the promise here. Thank God that there is a complete blotting out of every transgression that we have made. Not only do we see the intensity of the promise, but look at the incentive of the promise. What is God's incentive for blotting out our sins? Well, he says in the text what it is. What does he do all this for? He says, for mine own sake. He doesn't do it so that he can reward us. He doesn't do it because I've done my best. He doesn't blot out my sins because I've been a good fellow. He does it for his own name's sake. You see, dear friend, there is nothing that you can do that will merit eternal life. There's nothing that you can present to God that will in any way merit his salvation. There is nothing that you can bring to him that in any way can bring upon you the blessings of God's salvation. It is only for God's own name's sake. And dear friend, what you need to do then is to bring yourself to his feet. If you can't do it, if you can't work it out, if there's nothing that you can do, what do? Bring it to God. Put it in the arms. Put it in the lap of the Almighty God of heaven. And he is the Savior. He's the one who can save you. Not the church, not me, not anyone in the church, not the session of the church. But dear friend, it is the Lord that is able to save. We see the incentive of the promise. But look too at the immediacy of the promise. It does not say, I am he that will blot out thy transgressions, but I am he that blotteth out present. And that's the blessed thing tonight. He can blot out your transgressions now. Now, as you sit in this meeting, as you think about your sins, as you consider your eternity, God is here. And God blots out transgressions now. But dear friend, you can leave it too late. Away back in the 1800s, way back in 1898 anyway, there was a short story writer, an American short story writer, by the name of O. Henry. And he was convicted of embezzlement of $784 from a bank in America where he was employed. He was a very popular later on, and in 1985, some of his fans sought to bring a case, he'd long dead of course, but some of his fans sought to bring a case to clear this man of the conviction of embezzlement. But when it came to the court, the verdict was that a pardon cannot be given to someone who cannot accept it. And dear friend, that's the truth. Because if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, there's no pardon for you. If you keep on tramping under their feet the mercy of God, there comes a time when God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There comes a time when it is too late. I read the story about George Wilson. I'm sure you've heard it. And George Wilson was convicted of robbery in the United States and was sentenced to be hanged. And President Andrew Jackson heard about the case, and he heard about all that was taking place, and he sent a message to the Chief Justice Marshal, who concluded that Wilson would have to be executed. But then the American president, President Andrew Jackson at the time, passed over a note that said that Wilson should be pardoned. And this note went to the prison. Wilson was about to be very close to his execution. But the note came in with the pardon from the president. But George Wilson refused to take the pardon. Now, the pardon had the authority of the president. The pardon could have given him freedom. But he refused to accept. And dear friend, tonight we have presented you the God who blots out transgressions. We have told you about the God who forgives sins. Now, dear friend, you can reject the pardon. And that's what you will do if you go out of this meeting or leave the screen without coming and asking the same God to actually blot out your transgressions. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked God to blot out your transgressions? Well, why not come tonight? Because now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. May God give you the grace to come and call upon him for mercy and salvation. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. And can I say that if I'm speaking to you tonight and you do want your sins forgiven and you do want your guilt dealt with, then we'd be only too happy to help you in any way that we can. To give you literature or to speak to you, we'd love to help you. Or if you're on the internet, put in a comment somewhere, and some of the men here will be able to deal with it and get your reply as quickly and as soon as we are able. But you need Christ tonight. You need God's salvation. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word tonight. We thank thee for the God who not only blots out our sins, but who forgives our transgressions. We thank thee for the fact that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And we thank thee for the mercy and grace of God that is so great. We thank thee for his love that is so large and so wide. And we bless thee that it is a love to dear benighted sinners tonight in this land or wherever people are listening on tonight. We thank thee that there is grace for the guilty. Come, our God, and bless thy word. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Spread thy covering wings around till all our wandering cease and at our Father's loved abode, all who are saved arrive in peace, and everybody